When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The information presented in this program is not intended as legal, health, or nutritional advice. All topics are provided for informational purposes only and are not necessarily endorsed. Neither Lighton nor its host accepts responsibility for any statements, views, or opinions presented in this episode. All rights reserved.
It feels like all our heroes are counting on it.
We all know why. Because it's painful not to pretend.
The world itself is just one big hoax.
Welcome, Dr. Anna Mihalcea. I trust I said that correctly, right? I know my Romanian names.
Absolutely, and this is so fantastic because it's so rare that anybody can say it. So wonderful.
I feel you. So I guess we'll start with a little bit of your background, just for people who are unfamiliar with you. What is your background?
Yes, so I am an internal medicine physician, and I went into anti-aging. And when COVID hit, I, you know, was treating people with other solutions like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, trying to keep people out of the hospitals, and I became pretty aware about these bioweapons early on and started looking at the vaccine contents. And so from that, you know, I became sort of an expert on nanotechnology in the blood, and they became involved in many legal actions. I'm a board member for the National American Renaissance Movement, and we've, for example, filed 11 grand jury petition for crimes against humanity in different states in the United States. And I work with Dr. Joseph Sansone, so the Ban the Jabs petition that was passed by the GOP in multiple states, including Florida, has my research in it. And so I work with an international legal team in Costa Rica about endeavoring to internationally get these shots off the market. So it has kind of gone many different ways. But on my day job, I'm still a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how are those cases going with all that legal stuff? Is there any leeway there? Or?
So just now, Dr. Joseph Sansone, actually, he filed with the Supreme Court of Florida a mandamus. And what that is an encouragement of the Supreme Court to remind Governor DeSantis to, because the shots are meeting criteria for biological and technological weapons of mass destruction, to take those off the market. And so that's definitely breaking news. That was just filed yesterday. In Costa Rica, there was a hearing on November 9th, and the court basically sent us to a different court, but the team refiled. So Costa Rica has international jurisdiction, which is why this is of true interest to us internationally. And so I'm an expert legal witness for this issue of shedding, because the these, you know, bioweapons, they actually transfer to the unvaccinated, and that's one of the things that I've proven in the blood. And so we just refiled another preliminary injunction. So if, for example, Costa Rica passes the fact that the jabs should be banned, that would have international value, because
precedent.
Yes.
Hmm. That's yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that goes, because I know how kind of corrupted the system is everywhere, so I don't know.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great point to make that definitely the United States hasn't been very fruitful, that it's been very evident there were over 1,000 cases. Most of them were dismissed that were related to COVID. Someone, in regards to mask mandates, et cetera. But I do think that what is happening is that people are waking up more to the fact that, these cause a lot of harm. And, the fact that the Surgeon General of Florida has called for them to be taken off the market. I mean, all of these are positive developments. They're not fast enough, but, it's progress.
Something. It needs to be tried for sure. And now you mentioned shedding, and I do want to get into that. I've been a very big skeptic on the shedding thing. And I've been a little leery of it just because it always seemed like a like another division tactic to me. And I there was such a response to it, even in like the people who are awake to all this, they immediately wanted to distance themselves from people. And, people still ask me today, like, should I not have, sexual contact with people, and all this stuff. And I just think it's, I don't know, I want to be careful about, putting that into the world. And I, I saw your information, and I thought, well, if there's new news on it, then I want to know what the truth is. So I guess firstly, how does one start studying this? Like, would you use a microscope? How do you look at the blood, and what did you use to sort of prove that this is carrying over to other people?
And I can show some images as well. So what happened was that I collaborated with Dr. David Nixon in Australia, and one day he said, "Hey, do you want to take a look at the shots?" And I actually have those images. And what we could maybe do is I can show some of my presentation and actually discuss a little bit of the background, and then we can get into shedding. How does that sound?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Not
Okay.
sure why I've been relegated to a small window, by the way. But that's okay.
Basically, the background that I really think is important for people to understand is that this has been planned for a long time. And a lot of people, they were very skeptical of this whole self-assembling nanotechnology. But it's like, look, folks, just use logic. The mere size of this thing is on a nano scale. And I really wanted to know, well, what was the broader aspect of it all? And that literally there is, just before we came on, we mentioned also the spiritual aspect of it, that there is this technocratic desire for transhumanism, to create cyborgs or to fuse humans with machines. And that literally artificial intelligence that is now rising is part of that, and the synthetic biological fusion and digitization of all of life. So I came from the perspective of endeavoring to figure this out also in the context of geoengineering, of things like Morgellons, because I worked with Clifford Carnicom, who is an expert in Morgellons, and then advanced nanomaterials and biosensors. And so here's really where this whole thing starts, which is Klaus Schwab, who was saying the technologies will operate in your own biology and change how we interface with the world. Smart dust arrays of full computers with antenna, each much smaller than a grain of sand, can now organize themselves inside the body. So this is self-assembling nanotechnology that he's talking about. And they're talking about that the interplay between nanotechnology, brain research, 3D printing, mobile networks, 5G, and computing will create realities that were previously unthinkable, and literally will affect everything that it is to be human. So they were talking about surveillance under the skin. They, meaning Yuval Harari, for example, and they were talking about that nanorobots would swarm in your bloodstreams. And what's very interesting is, if you might have noticed, is that all of these different countries are moving towards digital identity. And if you look in the World Economic Forum website for strategic intelligence, vaccines are in the center of their entire agenda for digital identity, cybersecurity, global governments, travel, digital economy, governance, future of health. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, anybody would just like stop for a second and say, what does vaccination have to do with digital ID, you know, or your ability to travel freely? And it initially makes no sense unless you know that the vaccines actually contain the platforms, the technology, and that the Agenda 2030, that nanotechnology is part of 13 out of 17 sustainable development goals. So everything that they're planning, nanotechnology is an integral part of that. And this is really, you know, in line with the technology. So people were really freaking out when we were talking about that the vaccinated are emitting MAC addresses, and you know that this was measured even in graveyards. But here's the literature, and this is not in the medical literature, but the IEEE literature. You see that the wireless body area networks, which is, you know, the ability to, for example, monitor your heart rate, your EEG, you know, your glucose sensor, that these nanorobotics are interacting with your cell phone and are sending your information to the cloud, and that is really is using a MAC address protocol, and so it's very much so that what has been out there is actually in the literature. And
Yeah.
then, for example, here it's showing that wireless sensor networks that affect that in effect, coronavirus wasn't a virus, but it was a hacking of, and it was a signal that was sent via 5G, and it would give literally the symptoms of a virus through interacting with this technology. And we were just talking about there is no virus, absolutely, or there was no virus, you know. So, well, then the next question is, well, what was there? Because clearly there were some people who got sick, and people say, well, there was a flu. Well, if there's no virus, then there's no flu either. So this was definitely interesting. Again, the technology aspects, the literature has some of these answers. And then we have obviously things like these patents, the cryptocurrency system using the body activity data and how that is related to an intra-body sensor that is then sent to the cloud. And this something like that can certainly explain why is digital identity and global currency related to vaccination if they are injecting the infrastructure of that, you know, through a vaccine? So this is very interesting because it's another answer to the question of if there's no virus, what is there? And the NIH director discussed a COVID-19 drug discovery with quantum dots. And this is the stuff that I found in people's blood, quantum dots, micro robots. So what does he say? These multicolored orbs move to resemble SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus responsible, but they're actually lab-made nanocrystals called quantum dots. And they have been especially engineered to act and look like coronavirus. Okay. So what is it? Well, these things fluoresce, and what do they contain? A semiconductive metal in the inner core, and then also a polymer surrounding it. And so what you see is a spike protein studded quantum dot. So it's all artificially made. And it can bind to human cells just like a virus. So it can give you an antibody response. So you can go and get your antibodies tested. And if you have this technology in your body, it will show a positive, but there was no virus. So, air pollution, this stuff was also aerosolized. There were studies about this, but I just want to get to what we actually found in the shot. And there were 26 plus teams worldwide, and many of them didn't find mRNA, including Dr. Janina Hagiba in Romania. So there was no nitrogen or phosphorus. So what the heck did they find? They found metals, cesium, barium, cobalt, chromium, titanium, aluminum, and they found these strange structures that were self-assembling. And they were saying, okay, definitely graphene is possible. And now that has been confirmed. It has been confirmed by Pfizer that there's graphene oxide within these shots. They're used to create the artificial spike proteins. So this is the first time that I looked at a Pfizer vial with Dr. David Nixon. And what you can see here is these blinking background stuff that is changing colors. And it's building a metallic-like structure. And I definitely knew that this isn't supposed to be in a vaccine. It looks totally mechanical. And you can see different structures that are being built by this. But there is a light photoemission here that is actually, clearly happening. And the reason why this video becomes so important is because about several months later, I started seeing this stuff in the blood and assembling different structures. So this is where I drew the connection between what was in the vials and what really was happening with humanity's blood.
So you've actually seen the assembly yourself, like moving under the microscope.
Absolutely, and I filmed it, and I'm going to show you in a little bit
Okay.
how it works. So basically, this is a dark field microscopy of a drop of the Pfizer vial contents, and you can see these microchips have developed, and these cables that look like optical communication cables. So in our research team, we collaborated with electrical engineers, nanotechnology engineers, and us doctors, and they clearly said, okay, definitely this looks like a microchip circuitry board. And what happened was that initially in the vaccinated people, these weird filaments started to show up, okay? And what you can see here is that your white blood cells are endeavoring to eat this thing up. And what was interesting to me about it was that people had seen it before. It was called Morgellons. And for 20, 30 years, this was sprayed via geoengineering, but we weren't seeing it in everybody. And what happened was initially after the vax rollout, the bioweapon rollout, this stuff showed up in the vaccinated blood, and then it started showing up in the unvaccinated blood. And this is where my alarm bells, started going off. And what's important about this, I'll show you a little bit in just a little bit where really the breakthrough came. But that what I just want to explain here is that people are talking about microplastics everywhere now. Okay, they're talking about it in the water, in the food supply. Well, what they call microplastics is what I call self-assembling nanotechnology, because this little thing didn't just show up in this size, it grew. And you can see now it's a brand new study that showed that it's in every placenta. And I'm going to show you in a minute that it's a total match to the vax. So what they did was they used something called liquid gas chromatography, and they determined the type of plastic polymers that this stuff was. First of all, it looks exactly like the stuff we see in the blood and that you see behind me. But then, so here's this polyethylene. Polyethylene is polyethylene glycol, for example, one form, but it's also there's a polyethylene terephthalate. So phthalates are degradation products of something like polyvinyl chloride, which is polyvinyl alcohol, which is plastic. And what was interesting about this is this comparison. So on this side, you see all of the plastics that were found in the placentas, okay? And it turned out that they were analyzing the placentas from 2006 to 2021, but by 2021, exponentially the amount of microplastics went up to actually include 648 micrograms per gram of tissue. That's insane, okay? And So here's the polyethylene, here's polyvinyl chloride, which is plastic. Nylon is a polyamide. Styrene is polystyrene, which is styrofoam, okay? And then you see here these other different polyurethane, polycarbonate. Those are all plastic. Here's the Moderna patent. And what it says is lipid nanoparticle composition and the methods formulating the same by Moderna. And they're saying they're putting stealth nanoparticles in it. And guess what are they made of? Polyethylene. Here's your polyvinyl alcohol, polymethacrylates, polycyanoacrylates, which is super glue. Look it up. It's super glue. Okay? And then all of these different, you see it's a one-to-one match. What they're calling microplastics is literally these lipid nanoparticle formulations, and these things self-assemble. So what I try to explain to people is the reason why they found all these metals in the vials and in every vaccine, even childhood vaccines, is that a plastic needs a catalyst to start building itself. And the catalysts are metals, aluminum and a transition metal, and that starts the reaction. So this is, definitely what I've been discussing is that we have these weapon systems. There are multiple weapon systems. There are the metals. There are the hydrogels, which are plastics. There are, the payloads that they're carrying. So it's a more complicated picture. But here's where things become interesting, and I really understood, okay, shedding is real. And this is truly self-assembling nanotechnology because I was one of the people who analyzed the clots that were sent to me from the embalmer Richard Hirschman. Okay. And he sent me embalmed blood of somebody who's been dead for 8 months. And they died with the rubbery clots. And I found the same filaments under the microscope. And then I found this. All right. So this is a video of dark field microscopy. And this is still building nanotechnology. I'm just speeding this up a little bit so you can see it. There are these round little spheres. And inside of them are these little blinking lights that look exactly like the stuff that we've seen in the vial, okay? And that was really like, wait a minute, an embalmed blood, that should be dead blood. Nothing should be moving there. And here is a picture of one of those round spheres. And what you can see here, this is 4,000 times magnification dark field. This is a red blood cell. It's 5 to 7 microns. And then you see that here's one of those round things. And you see these blinking lights in there, which are quantum dot-like technology. And these are emitting light, and they are changing. And they're in the size range of maybe 500 nanometers compared to this red blood cell. So what I'm saying is this is now already looking at the nanoscale. You see blue, yellow, orange. So that was a huge awakening because now I remembered the stuff that I saw in the vial, and then I could see it in the unvaccinated. So people come to me, unvaccinated individuals, because they know what I do and they want their blood checked. Okay, this is unvaccinated blood, and you see the exact same spherical motion with these little dots that are moving, and you see that the cells are in complete distress. I mean, they have like spikes. They are they've been their electricity has been hijacked. And Clifford Cardicum and I, we did experiments where we measured the electrical conductivity of blood, and it was reduced by 47%. So imagine that this technology hijacks your electricity to function and to build itself. And literally, people have accelerated aging symptoms. Here you see how in unvaccinated blood, here's this sphere, the same dots that are in there, and it's building those filament structures that we see in the blood. Here you see another video, and you see blinking lights, blue, red, orange, yellow, and it's building this filament while the cells are in total distress. Nothing in the body is supposed to blink blue, red, yellow.
Yeah, check I would this. Think.
Yeah, check this out. This is unvaccinated blood. This is a micro-robotic swarm. You can see these things, and they are literally hijacking the electricity from the red blood cells. And I filmed this all the way to it building the rubbery clots, because what happens is they take all the electricity from the cells until there's a dead wasteland, and these robots move on. And so this is what is shedding, and we're inhaling it. I've found it in all vaccines, childhood vaccines as well. Found the filaments in the food supply, including meats like, beef and pork and things like that. I found it in other medications. They're using nanotechnology and everything, but this is not normal. And this is literally what is shedding from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated. And it is in the Pfizer documents that if an unvaccinated man inhales the air around a vaccinated woman, then he can transfer the vaccine to another unvaccinated woman. It doesn't say have sex, be intimate, nothing like that. Inhaling the air around them. And, this is what I found, and it's not right. This right here is a micro robot that I found in budesonide. Budesonide was an inhaled steroid that they used for COVID treatment. And you can see it's light emitting. And this is also 4,000 times magnification. I have video footage of it moving and actually interacting with things. This is another finding. So this is a vaccinated individual who also had two PCR tests. You can see at a normal light, the skin looks normal. But then if you apply a UV light, the vaccinated are glowing, and they're glowing orange, fluorescent. And you can see this only with UV light, but this is why they deployed all the blue lights on the street lamps, etc. It is not normal for a human being to glow orange, okay? And people are saying, oh, these are just bacteria. I'm like, that is just a bunch of baloney, okay? Because we have documented how this orange fluorescent glow moves from the nose to the forehead and is in the ear and all of this. So these people, their entire face just glows. And that is genetic engineering with either quantum dot technology or luciferase gene editing. If you look at the literature, that they did this to animals and they had sheep glow in the dark. I've also analyzed, so this stuff, these filaments that are like Morgellons come out of the skin from the vaccinated after taking a shower. And you can find it by shining a UV light on the skin. You can see that they are fluorescent, and I looked at them under the microscope. But you can see that these are artificially intelligent, just like Morgellons. They know the biophotonic light of the finger, they will move towards it and attach to it. You cannot pull it away. So this is a polymer-like advanced nanotechnological synthetic life form that is used to hybridize humans with technology and synthetic biology. Here you see a hair, and it's attracted to the hair. And so this is another way of how the shedding process happens, because this stuff can float around in the air. For example, if a vaccinated individual has dry skin, then it gets onto the skin of an unvaccinated and it will enter your skin, because this stuff starts at a nanoscale. It's like a gas. So basically, these are all of the aspects that we found. This right here is also very important research, because we didn't find any differences anymore between a vaccinated individual and an unvaccinated individual, because their blood contaminated looked the same. But we did this test, which looks at the susceptibility to electromagnetic frequency, and it turns out that at 4 hertz, the vaccinated blood is extremely sensitive to electromagnetic frequency. 4 hertz is the frequency they use for HARP, High Active Auroral Research Project, which is used for ionospheric weather modification, but they can also gene edit people and mind control them. And one of my colleagues who is injected, he had a functional MRI test done, for example, and they found 4 hertz brainwave activity in the wake state. Now, let me explain. 4 hertz is brainwaves of deep sleep of your subconscious mind. You shouldn't have that in the waking state. And so this has also been found to be correct. So ELF frequency has been shown to affect mental functioning. It's used for mind control. It disrupts cellular metabolism, can suppress the immune system, alter DNA. So this is really where the aspect comes in with how does this technology interact with EMF, with 5G. And Igor Smirnov, he was a very renowned researcher for mind control research, psychotechnology research in Russia, and the FBI hired him in 1993. And he said it's conceivable that some Russian Satan, or let's say an Iranian or any other Satan, as long as he owns the appropriate means and finances, can inject himself into every conceivable computer network, radio or television broadcast, with pretty much ease, because all you have to do is intercept the radio waves in the ether and modulate them subliminally and put any suggestion into it. And if this transpires over a long enough period of time, it accumulates in the heads of people, and they can be artificially manipulated with other additional measures to do that which the perpetrator wants them to do. This is why the technology is rightfully feared. That's exactly what Yuval Harari said. We will have automatons with surveillance under the skin who have no soul and no spirit. And Klaus Schwab said people won't even know that they're being changed from the inside, because they cannot differentiate between an inserted thought and their own thoughts. But just think about how many people have been all of a sudden depressed and anxious who never had a history of that. The other thing that people need to understand is that if the self-replication continues, even at death, you have the definition of zombieism as well as cyborgs, and that there are true concerns about the dual-use nature of this, that nanorobots could destroy all life on Earth, because basically you can't control this stuff once it's in the system, because you see it's its own intelligent artificial life form. And so I think that people need to know about it. And I'm just going to stop sharing here. But
when you say zombie, are you suggesting that this could have some kind of life in a dead body?
Yes, and they already did that. Remember, they did it with chickens. They killed the chickens and they continued to move, because all you have to have is, if you have an artificial electronic life form that is in the physical life form, and just like what I showed you of the embalmed blood, it continues to replicate and it can neurologically fire, then certainly you could have something like that. I mean, why do you think the zombie apocalypse was actually, you know, trained and kind of looked at by the CDC and by FEMA and all of that? Yeah. So
I had an episode where I posted the screenshot from the CDC about the training for the zombie apocalypse, or whatever it was.
Absolutely. So what is important for people? You know, obviously this people are always saying my research is so scary. Well, it turns out that I have found a lot of antidotes that were in the patent. So I'm a certified EDTA chelation practitioner. EDTA is a molecule that pulls out metals. And in the patents, it says, if you want to inhibit the replications of nanoparticles, you use EDTA in combination with vitamin C and something like malic acid, which is in apples, and it stops it. Well, that's exactly what I've done for the last 2 years, and I've cleaned people's blood. I've shown on my Substack before and after, and it even sort of cuts the antenna when people come to me, and sometimes, you know, they haven't been sleeping, they feel like they have all these dark thoughts, they're so anxious, they have heart palpitations, they can't function, And I give them like one ETA chelation, and while they're on the IV, they calm down and they feel like, oh my God, something just lifted from them. Why is that? Is because the metals are literally the connection to this technology. And when you cut the transmission, literally, because you're pulling out the building blocks, it doesn't work anymore. The other research that I've done was on the rubbery clots. And it turns out if you draw 30 cc's of blood, initially we did it with vaccinated blood, and it would form the rubbery clots within 4 hours. Then we did it with, I did it with unvaccinated blood, and the same thing happened. So I put EDTA in one syringe and vitamin C in the other syringe. It inhibited it. The next thing that worked was methylene blue. Methylene blue is an anti-aging molecule, has been used for all kinds of things like neurological regeneration. And I did the same thing. I looked at the literature. They used methylene blue. Actually, they used hydrogel plastics to clean wastewater from methylene blue because it binds like a magnet. So I was just like, well, why don't I just reverse this and do the opposite and use methylene blue to decontaminate the hydrogel out of people because it binds it and then you pee it out. And that works beautifully too. I've shown in tests and in experiments that it totally inhibits the progression of these rubbery clots. And so I think it's just important for people to know that you can do stuff. Stay away from your Wi-Fi thing because the Wi-Fi makes this stuff grow. Use Ethernet cables, and be out in nature as much as you can, and those kinds of things. I think it's important to know.
And what is exactly is the process like with EDTA? What does it entail? And is there any permanent damage even after using that?
So EDTA is a molecule that's been used now for almost 100 years, and it's used for atherosclerosis reversal. And there's a lot of people who say out there, oh, that's toxic and I'm poisoning people. I'm like, you don't know anything. Jesus, there was a trial, it's called the TACT trial, okay, where they gave 55,000 infusions of EDTA and didn't have a single side effect. It increased the excretion of lead by 4,800% and reversed atherosclerosis and reduced stroke and heart attack risk better than aspirin, beta blockers, and statins combined. So EDTA can be used orally, for example, or people use it rectally. You want to use it liposomal. It gets degraded in the stomach. So you either need an enteric coated formula as a pill form or you use it as a liquid. So you can use it in low amounts, but you have to replace minerals. So what I tell my patients, something like, take the EDTA pill in the morning and do your minerals at night, and that way you're always rebalancing. I haven't seen. I've been a chelation practitioner since 2018. You should see what I pull out of people from uranium, cadmium, aluminum, barium. I mean, people are so polluted because they've been spraying the metals on us. This is why we have accelerated aging. It's in the food supply, it's in the it's just in about everything that we consume. So it's a good idea to actually detox from it.
Is it kind of silly knowing all this stuff is everywhere? I mean, the air, food, water. Is it kind of silly to worry that much about being around vaccinated people?
It's not silly because there is a portion of the unvaccinated, it's not everyone, but I would say maybe 30% of the unvaccinated have an extreme sensitivity to being around them. I don't exactly know why that is, but I've seen turbo cancers in the unvaccinated, for example. The partner was vaxxed, and in 8 months, the person was dead, 40 years young, okay? So the vaccine injuries I am seeing now in the unvaccinated, and the more clumped up or the more contaminated the blood is, the higher the risks are. This whole thing of long COVID, what I have seen that is, it's nanotechnology contamination in the blood. So you have 30-year-olds that can't remember stuff. And I do functional brain testing, and I found that their hippocampus is completely without electricity. So their functional brain age might be like 90. I mean, that can't be good for society when you have such massive and accelerated aging. And then, you know, the other thing is, so blood clots, I've seen unvaccinated now with horrific blood clots. And for example, I had one case where they had bilateral clots in the lower legs and then were put on the regular blood thinners, Eliquis and aspirin, and then develop blood clots in the lungs that almost kill them. And then use natokinase, lumbrokinase, and Serrabtase in addition. So came to me on 5 different blood thinners. We did the test of just drawing the blood and leaving the blood set. It turned into rubber almost immediately. So we started EDTA and the methylene blue, and it was prevented. So I think that people need to understand that we are in the fight of our life. This excess mortality of 17 million people, that's almost equivalent to 2 world wars, that's
Yeah.
everywhere.
It's a
And
silent Holocaust for sure.
it's absolutely, and I believe that it's affecting, you know, the unvaccinated as well. In fact, they would want to come after us because in the Orwellian globalist dream of total control, you don't want dissidents. So I think that our part in fighting this war is keeping us healthy and to do whatever we can to prevent this stuff, because ultimately, you know, these plastics, they've been shown to cause heart attacks, strokes, and all kinds of things. I like I said, as a clinician, I've seen in the unvaccinated very badly too.
So as far as the unvaccinated and finding blood clots in them, just for devil's advocate here, how do we know that that's not due to something else or normal blood clots that happen in the population? Because I'm sure these things happen for other reasons as well, right? How do we correlate those to the vaccine?
So we analyzed the blood clots, and what we did, Clifford Carnicum and I, we got the blood clots from Richard Hirschman. So there were the rubbery clots from the deceased. Then we got blood clots from a vaccine-injured living human and blood clots from an unvaccinated individual. And we did near-infrared spectroscopy, which is a form of chemical analysis, and they all had polyamides, which is nylon, and polyvinyl alcohol signatures, which is plastic. And so and you can see, obviously, you know, I've been a doctor for a few decades now, and what happens is that when a blood clot develops, it's not supposed to be like rubber. We also analyzed the clots and we tried to dissolve them, and we used lye, acetone, deep stripper. We used the most caustic chemicals, and you cannot break this stuff down. Blood, you can break down, but a nylon or a polyamide that is literally, stronger than steel, something like spider silk, was genetically engineered. You cannot break that down.
And as far as I remember, La Quinta Columna came out with their own protocol using NAC and various other substances. I can't remember. Is there any, is that, do you find any success in using that protocol?
Yes, so my protocols have a ton of stuff. And if you think about it, antioxidants are electron donors. So anything that gives electricity to the body will help. So we have vitamin C is a high electron donor. I use very high doses, 10 grams a day. And then NAC, precursor of glutathione, absolutely. Dimethylglycine, you need methyl groups to make glutathione to detoxify this stuff. And it turns out that the technology hijacks methyl groups, so I give that. Then I talked about the EDTA. I use the malic acid, which is in the patent. I use things like just full nutritional support and, you know, whatever else people need. So I definitely use a broad spectrum of endeavoring to give people whatever, you know, I can to build them back up.
And is EDTA readily available to everyone, or do you need a prescription for that?
No, it's over the counter. You know, there's for example, a pill form that's called Med5. There are people can get suppositories online. There's a liposomal liquid. Absolutely, it is available.
That's good. Well, that's good news. What else did I want to ask you? I wanted to backtrack a little bit. You said, so do you believe that the COVID symptoms were due to 5G at a certain frequency when this all started?
So what I saw in the blood with COVID was this stuff was replicating, and when people were really ill, there was almost more of this hydrogel than there was blood. This is how I figured it out because I almost died of COVID. I was attacked, and once I first saw my own blood, I was like, "Oh my God, this is why." You know, because when this stuff happens, your oxygen carrying capacity goes down significantly. So I believe that there was an aerosolized biological and technological weapon, with something like this quantum dot stuff that the NIH discussed. I mean, I thought video footage where even Fauci was saying, "Oh, it's a self-assembling nanotechnology, and we just put a protein on
Yes.
there."
Yeah.
And that's way more immunogenic.
Investigators are doing, and again, it's not the only target, is to take that stem and get rid of the distracting head and stabilize that stem and put it in a way, not growing it in eggs, getting back to what you were saying, not growing the virus at all, but just getting the sequences, getting the appropriate protein, and sticking it on a self-assembling nanoparticle that is much, much more immunogenic.
Bill Gates said the same thing. So I totally think that this was totally engineered. I think that the mRNA is just bull because, you know, we didn't find it. And then to mass produce the molecule is, you know, that's also not really able to happen on these scales. So the whole story about, oh, it's going to be reverse transcribed and you're going to produce these spike proteins. Well, I believe that the spike proteins were externally inserted potentially on this technology, and that it's not what people are thinking. It's a device. That's what Karen Kingston showed. There's a study out there that shows that spike protein will react to moderate electrical fields and actually change configuration. Well, that's a machine. That's a device.
So it was completely synthetic, the whole spike protein thing. There was no, it wasn't like how they described it.
No, it's like you didn't like just started making spike protein. There was self-assembling, replicating nanotechnology, and then the whole story with the SV40. The research that I did on this fluorescent glow. Well, how did they insert the fluorescent luciferase gene proteins into animals? They used SV40 promoter genes to actually do it via CRISPR. So there's just so much there that needs to be further investigated.
And it must have been, so some people must have been more exposed than others as far as the whole 5G thing, right? Because some people had not, including myself, I didn't get sick for that whole 3 years. How do you think that works exactly? Are some people just more sensitive or?
I think that they radiated certain areas. And for example, if you look at South Korea, where people, foreign people just like dropped dead with cardiac arrest, I think that that was basically a trial run on how to kill people with just an electromagnetic 5G pulse. And then you look at, for example, the big holiday cruises, you know, where all of a sudden everybody got COVID, but the holiday cruise just had the 5G installed. Well, it
Yeah.
turns out this technology was in the flu shot the year prior.
Yes, I
And
remember.
so if they were injected and then, you know, any frequency transmission can be sent, maybe those people were more susceptible, you know.
Italy had a high uptake, I believe, of the flu shot prior to COVID.
Absolutely. What did they find in Italy? Well, there were aerosolized particles that looked like a virus, and they were looking, well, hey, can pollution, you know, transport the virus? No. It's aerosolized biological technological warfare. This is a militarized program, you know, and that's what James Giordano discusses. You only need less than a fingernail of nanoparticulate stuff that you aerosolize, and you can get selected people sick, You can create a hysteria. Everybody believes that there is, you know, this virus that's going to kill everybody. You can lock things down. And then I think it was a very specific targeting to kill certain people to just scare the holy heck into really deploying the ultimate weapon of mass destruction, which were the shots. And people, you know, bought it and went for it.
It's kind of strange that, I mean, seeing as they have so many different ways of getting this out into the population, that they were so adamant about a shot. Why do you think they were so adamant about getting people injected when they could have just done it through food or air?
Because the software program needed a shot to be able to be more efficient, because our body is amazing. Imagine we've been sprayed with Morgellons for 30 years. Not everybody got sick, but we all had, you know, nanotechnology in our bodies. And it turns out our microbiome is able to degrade graphene. You know, you have enzymes that are like the peroxidases in white blood cells that can degrade plastics. I mean, our body is just amazing. So I think that ultimately to get this brain computer interface and the digital ID and all of that rolled out, they had to do the injections under the skin. But now they're, for example, talking about, you know, aerosolizing vaccination via airplanes, or they're using airborne mosquitoes, or they're using, yeah, nasal spray, or they put it in your salad, you know, they genetically engineer palate so that you're vaccinated. So they want to continue to modify humans, and this is where the spiritual aspect comes in. I believe that the people who own this world are Satanists, and that's where the whole child trafficking comes in, and, you know, satanic ritual abuse and child sacrifice, etc. And that basically the whole aspect of them hating anything that is God made is now manifested in synthetic biology and in this technocratic, we have to fuse humans with AI, and according to Ray Kurzweil, actually phase out the human until the only thing that's left are robots. What absolute idiocy, you know? And these people are supposedly intelligent. They're just stupid beyond belief. But what I'm saying is that is their mindset, and it's a satanic mindset that they want to upload their own consciousness into the cloud and be immortal. I'm like, go freaking ahead. I'm not interested in your dystopian idiocy.
Yeah, there's a reason they want to be able to implant consciousness too. I mean, this goes into like really deep biblical stuff, you know. And I'm not like a classic Bible guy, but there's some truth to that, and just the fact that they're talking about that as if it's a real thing, I mean, and then there's another part of the population calling everything a conspiracy theory is wild to me, you know what I mean? It's like, it's obviously not. If they're talking about it, it seems like they know how to do it, and I think, you know, this goes back to people or beings that need this to continue on,
yeah.
They need machines.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I've always, you know, from the first time that I looked at the shot, I said, this technology isn't from here. Absolutely. I said that. And the whole thing about, you know, the literature says that you can use graphene and modulate its frequency to create plasmons and demons. I actually posted that. There was a scientific article, because why are they using superconducting material like graphene, which can be used for supercomputing? And what David Nixon showed that these microchips, they're assembled, and then if you shield them from EMF, they disassemble, they disappear, but they will reappear as immediately if you get them re-exposed to a Wi-Fi router. So what is the program in it? Well, if you go to the quantum scale, now you have a multidimensional access point. You know, this is like CERN. You know, they're trying to create these portals to have demonic entities come here. And, you know, basically they're preparing for the return of Satan. And they're doing it by using a technology that can access the quantum field. And we, in our brain, we process consciousness in microtubules that operate at the nanoscale. And it turns out the diameter of the brain microtubule and a carbon nanotube, which is graphene oxide, is the same. So So they want to install this parallel processing platform in our brain and basically take over our consciousness so that these, you know, beings can operate, you know, the body, the container, but they're hijacking the soul. And Dr. Robert Duncan, who worked for the CIA, who developed the artificial intelligence software for remote control of the entire planet, basically every human being's brainwaves is being interrogated and monitored at all times. He clearly said that they have the technology to hijack the human soul. So this is a war on every level of existence, and this is why I've been endeavoring to explain to people. It's like, look, this isn't just about a spike protein, and it isn't just about big pharma. This is big stuff. This is about the light of all eternity.
Yeah, it is. And I think they've had this technology for a long time. You know, if you read into like Atlantis and all, you know, prior epochs and stuff like that, they were a very advanced technological society. And that's kind of what ended that civilization. And I think some of these bloodlines go back to that. It's pretty scary. Do you think that there was any difference between the shots? Because a lot of people were talking about like, oh, some of them are saline, which I can't really imagine why that would be. But do you think there was a difference? I remember they pulled the J&J off quickly because it was like, I forget what the reason was, but it was harming people. And it's like, well, yeah, they're all harming people. Well, why pull just that one? Do you have any idea why they did that?
So I don't think it was just saline, you know, and, you know, clearly these metal contaminations, they're not accidental. And that's what Antonetta Gatti in 2017 showed, that all of the vaccines have these heavy metals in there. I just think they couldn't kill everybody at the same time, and that there is this slow moving holocaust going on. And there's a lot of, you know, excess mortality that continues to rise, even though the uptake of the shots has gone down dramatically. Most people have stopped taking shots, but mortalities continue to go up. That's your indicator that this is a slow release weapon of mass destruction that really was planned to, you know, kill people over several years.
Yeah, there were some people who, I mean, I remember looking at, I think it's howbad.info, which described, you could look up the batches by number. I looked up a friend's and she was fine, but there were people within that batch who actually died. That was pretty strange to me.
Yes, and I think that some of these... these injections, you know, so even if you inject, for example, heavy metals or plastics, you know, they took, there's this other study that just came out. They took transfusion blood. So meaning it had been drawn to donated to give to other human beings. And they injected, they tested it for phthalates, which are plasticizers, and they found it in all of the blood. And then what they did was they did studies on animals. So they gave a little bit of the blood to the mice and saw what happened to the heart. And the heart went into arrhythmia after 30 minutes. And some mice with the concentration of the DEHP that was in the blood actually developed a cardiac arrest immediately. So what I'm saying is that, again, some people are more susceptible than others. And, you know, they have an immediate hypersensitivity reaction or immune reaction or whatnot. And, you know, it's more like an execution than a vaccine. And other people appear fine and they are on their sixth booster and they're still walking and talking. Yeah. But I don't think that they're fine. I think that they're being modified. And there's another researcher, which I thought was just brilliant research, Diana Wodkowiak from Poland. So she did torsion spectroscopy on vaccinated individuals and showed that their antimatter self is being changed. Well, what is antimatter? That's literally the soul in the spiritual realm. And that was part of why people were getting magnetized. So I think that there's, again, if you look at this phenomena just through the regular eyes of a doctor, you don't know anything, okay? You have to basically open your mind and study all these different technologies, study what they've been telling us, because they're Satanists. They have to tell us what they're planning. So hence, you know, folks like Yuval Harari and Klaus Schwab. And then, You have to understand that this was developed in stealth programs, Black Project, 30 years ago. I mean, Eisenhower made a deal with some alien extraterrestrials, and he got a lot of technology and access to humans. And at that point, the Majestic 12, there was a lot of technology that was transferred. And this is why disclosure really hasn't happened yet. You are the frickin' disclosure because literally, humanity, we are a hybrid race, and we're a slave planet for thousands of years. And this is just the sort of the next step. And if you think that that's cuckoo, well, anyways, it's reality.
Things reality I've discovered is far more cuckoo than people really understand. It will keep you up at night how cuckoo it is. And the whole alien thing is another bag of worms, because that's a whole narrative too. Like they call it aliens, but really it's just sort of demonic entities, right, that we're talking about. But they have to label it aliens to kind of carry it along their own narrative and fool people. And then there's this whole agenda for the alien god, having people believe that aliens are their god, and at some point they're supposed to introduce that into the population,
Well, it already has happened. If you look at the Old Testament, and where did the notion of actually sacrificing your firstborn son come from? And how come that is such a satanic practice? So I believe that a lot of major religions these were that can be looked at a completely different level. And if you truly look at the night sky and you think we're alone, I'm sorry, you're just have no more than two neurons firing. So
We're definitely not alone, but I think it's really like an interdimensional war, honestly.
absolutely. And so what's biblically called fallen angels and Satan, that is something that's advanced civilizations, and that's been documented by credible sources of the military and the Israeli government. And even Eisenhower, why did Reagan say if there was an alien invasion, would humanity unite? Well, because it has already happened. And so I just think that we need to come to terms with this idea of, this technology is there for a purpose. It was given to humanity. It's been around for a long time. It's very complex, but it is also a dimensional access point for absolutely demonic entities. And this is why you can see, people are turning around and looking at this whatever demonic thing, before they topple over and die. I mean, this is not good
Are the
stuff.
people that were like turning their heads and then keeling over?
Yeah, I mean, they were looking at something pretty scary. So, you just don't know. And Hollywood certainly discussed how, through a cell phone, you can all of a sudden get a signal and turn into this, zombie-like creature. So, I think that on the other hand, it's not just about scariness, but the more self-awareness we have, the more we are fighting, we are vibrationally increasing our energetic level. And that if we are speaking the truth, if we're fearless, if we are loving, that is the frequency above where they live, because they're trying to pull everything down. And the more we pull things up, eventually we will actually shift out of their realm, because we don't live there anymore. This is why personal spiritual evolution is so important, self-forgiveness and just letting go of all of that stuff. I mean, I was looking at Satan and how jealous he was of God's creation. I'm like, dude, you sound like an infantile teenager. Maybe you should just own your stuff. You're gonna destroy all of creation because you want to be better than God. I'm like, anyway, so what I'm saying is that we have a lot of power within us. We're divine beings, and by this is the fight for our freedom, our existence, and I think that our future will be glorious. We just need to, kick these bastards out of here.
Definitely. And I think it's very important what you said about fear. And I don't want anybody to watch this and be in fear, because I think ultimately that's the worst toxin ever above nanotechnology is fear. I happen to believe personally that we are a consensus reality in all our thoughts together actually dictate what truly happens and what is our reality. And the more I think we give into to the fear of everything that's going on, and there's plenty to be fearful of, but the more we give into it, I think the more we manifest it as well. So I think it's important to remember that. I want to make a point of that.
Absolutely. And what I would do is, you know, why not convert whatever emotion you have into action? Because now it's a phenomenal time. And this is Armageddon. We get to fight Armageddon, you know? And it's like, you know, to fight for the survival of our children, of our species. And, you know, a lot is happening. They're not winning, and they will not win. But it's like every single one of us need to connect to that aspect. It just says, no way, you shall not pass. And absolutely, I do not believe in fear. I believe that we are enormously powerful, and that we have to give it everything we got, but that we will win.
Absolutely. I think God wins in the end, always. What kind of pushback have you gotten on this stuff? Have you gotten a lot of, you know, a hard time about putting this stuff out?
So obviously, you know, I've been at this for a while, and initially, you know, anything from conspiracy theorists to she's totally crazy to whatnot. But, you know, one of the things is that, you know, I have a PhD in pathology. I show people and I say, you know, you make up your own mind. I mean, here's the blood. And if you think that this is normal, and then, you know, the research regarding the technology here in IEEE research, they're talking about these biosensors floating around in the blood, and here's the microscopy of it. So I think at some point people need to make up their own mind, and they need to start looking for themselves. This is what I've encouraged. It's like, don't believe me, do your own research, get a microscope. That's what I did, and start looking, and the shockingness of what you'll find, that will really, really open your mind, if you have the courage to. Because I think that there's a lot of doctors who just, you know, they don't want to know, they don't want to really discuss it, they, you know, but they are being marginalized, because people are waking up, and a lot of people are understanding. Because, you know, I see patients who've been everywhere, we've seen everybody, you know, and they're not getting help, and so they come to me, and they get an IV chelation, and they're better, and it's like, whoa, this is serious, you know, confirmation here. So I think that the truth of what I've been speaking, you know, stands as a testament of its own.
Yeah, and I'm happy to be a conspiracy theorist or whatever. If this can be proven, any of this can be proven wrong, I want them to look at this, to get a microscope, do whatever, you know, mainstream science, please look at it. I'll come out and I'll say I'm a conspiracy theorist or whatever. You know, we want scientific discussion, real actual scientific discussion. And, you know, it's very dismissive and unintelligent to just label things as some pejorative and then shuck it off. You know, like, things are, conspiracy theories are just theories, right? You either prove them wrong or right. So it's the intellectual way, the smart way, is to prove it wrong if you believe it to be wrong. But why haven't they done that? You know, they haven't done that. Instead, they just call you crazy, which is dismissive, and they leave it at that. You know, there's never any real discussion or debate on this.
No, so, but that's fine, things are changing. And like I said, I believe that, again, you know, the truth stands on its own. I've written almost 600 articles now, you know, and people can look at it for themselves. And it is in line with the agenda. So the other reason why it's important to bring this knowledge out is because there are remedies and antidotes that have been now proven. Certainly, I've been proving it. People have been using, you know, these protocols around the world with amazing results in reversing vaccine injury, shedding symptoms. So why not try something when people are desperate, you know? So I think that that's another great argument in terms of just opening people's minds. So, but I want to thank you for, you know, for allowing me to share with your audience. And, you know, hopefully people will look into it. They can find my information on my Substack. It's annamihajamdphd.substack.com. And, you know, have an open mind. And the future is glorious. We're amazing beings, and we can figure this out. We just have to have the courage to face what is coming towards us.
Absolutely. I want to thank you so much for your work. I really appreciate it. And, You know, really appreciate you speaking out.
Thank you.